Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to Foot Traffic. Today we are talking about parenting as an entrepreneur. And let's just quickly get out a disclaimer. I am by no means a parenting expert. I am not saying I know what I'm talking about. I am not telling you that my way is superior, but I do get asked a lot of questions about how I'm raising my girls. What am I instilling in them? What values do I want them to have? And I wanted to share some details of what we are doing here in the Tuschel household. I love learning about this stuff. So if you want to make sure you DM me and let me know a strategy that you are doing, I'd love to hear it. Okay. Now, I want to give out a shout out to my friend, Jim. I remember right when I had babies, right when I had Tanner, he's just a great friend. He's a great parent. Him and his wife are just phenomenal. They've raised three amazingly successful children who are now grown adults. And I remember the first time that Jim kind of gave me a parenting advice. And he said, now listen, when you start having kids, you're going to say something. And a mom who already has a child older, right, is going to say something like, oh, sure. Like, just you wait. You say that now, but wait till she's 13, or, oh, you don't understand teenagers, right? And he said, people will say that. And he's like, that's garbage. Like anything. He's like, don't ever listen to that. Anytime you say you're going to do something, you can do it. He's like, we did. He's like, I never listened to those people. And we just did what we wanted to do. And we didn't allow our children to behave a certain way. And like I said, his kids are now grown adults, and I've watched what he's done. And I'm like, all right, that's the path we're following. And we've been that way ever since. Tanner is 8. She'll be 9 in February. Tegan is 6. And I'm really glad that I got that piece of advice, because I probably would have fallen into the trap of, oh, well, they know more than me. They're smarter than me. They've had children longer than me, right? And we get to be different. So I'm going to share some things that we're doing right now as habits, creating habits with our kids, some things we do, some routines that we do, and just like my favorite things that we plan to do, or I should say even in the future. So start by habits. So one of the big things that we are definitely trying to instill in our children is a love for reading. So we read every night before bed, whether we read together or they read by themselves. We bought these reading lamps on Amazon. They're like the reddish color, so it's not this bright white light before bed. It's easier for them to fall asleep. And they have these little reading lamps where we bring them everywhere. We bring them when we're camping. We bring them out of town if we're taking a trip on an airplane somewhere. We read every night before we go to sleep. And it's just something we've really instilled in them. Another thing that we started doing, I'm obsessed with, is role-playing. Now, we specifically bought this book. It's called Character of Kids. It is, I believe, a Christian-based role-playing. So FYI, in case you check that out. Here's what I love about role-playing. You're putting them in a situation of something they've never experienced before, and you're giving them a chance to think about it before it actually happens. Okay. So let me just share with you one story. So it's all about values, and every script, there's a piece of scripture with it. And then now it's just a question, right, of how should they act? So one of the role playing was a girl came up to you at school and says, like, Tanner, I don't like your shirt. I think it's stupid. Okay. And the value was kindness, and it was being kind even when somebody is not being kind. And I said, okay, Tanner, how are you going to respond? Like, what are you going to say? And she's like, I would just say, well, that's your opinion. And then I would walk away. I'm like, oh, good, good, Tanner, good. Tegan, what are you going to do? Now, Tegan just heard this, okay? So she even gets to cheat a little bit. I'm like, Tegan, what are you going to do? How are you going to still show kindness? And she's like, I would say, well, I don't like your shirt either. That is totally Tegan, like right there wrapped up. But I was able to stop her from maybe doing that in the future and saying, Tegan, is that showing kindness? Is that, you know, what we should be doing? And then we redid it. Okay. So the role playing, I just love so much, because our children, they don't know what they don't know. And if we can put situations in front of them before it actually happens, not that it's going to be a perfect situation in the future, but I do think it's going to be a lot easier and for them to make that choice. So I'm loving this book, and I will definitely continue to do these role plays even after we're through that book. Now, another thing we do is we're definitely trying to keep them positive, right? We do every night before bed, what is one thing you're grateful for? I might randomly say, hey, what was the best part of the weekend? In the morning, I might say, what's one thing you're most excited about today? Right? I'm trying to keep them in the positive. When they're whining, because they're kids, about what they don't have or the piece of candy that I didn't give them, I'm reminding them of the three pieces they already had, right? Or whatever it is. Like, my goal is to get them to focus on what they do have, not what they don't have. That alone is a skill set that we know as adults is going to help us so much, right? We are definitely thinking about money in our household. I am trying to create responsible adults, right? As they grow. So we've got these banks that are three parts, and it's save, spend, and give. We give our children, they do chores every week. They're getting $1 per age. So Tegan gets $6 a week. Tanner gets $8 a week. And we divide that up in the save, spend, give account. Now, what was really cool was this year with the save, spend, and give, what I did with Tanner was I said, okay, we're going to put this much into save. We're going to put this much, we're going to put this much into save. What would you like to do for the spend and give? And even just her on her own, she actually gave more than I had suggested as the minimum, which is really cool to see them starting to think about that themselves. So yeah, save, spend, give. And these are little piggy banks we found at just on Amazon. Okay. We are also doing cash flow for kids. Oh, we use the junior chore chart. So like Dave Ramsey has like this juniors set, and we use the chore chart magnets that go on the fridge, and those work really well. Now, we bought cash flow for kids. Now, this is not a cheap board game. It's crazy when you see, you see a board game. I don't remember how much it is, but I'm not even kidding. It could be like $80 to $100. It's insane. Cash flow for adults is even, I think it's like $200. However, the education we are teaching our children. Now, it's a Robert Kiyosaki. Okay. So the real estate guy, right? Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's his game, and it's actually strategically for children. Now, what's really cool is our children are getting familiar with phrases like assets, liabilities, right? I mean, for Tegan at 5 and 6 years old, as we were playing this, to know what an asset is, or to know what a liability is, or to know, would I get a business that's negatively cash flowing? Would that make sense? Should I get this rental property that is doing X, Y, Z? They are making decisions like that in this game. They actually love it. They beg to play with it. And it's definitely something we will continue to do to keep educating them on this. Okay. I do recommend the juniors, Dave Ramsey's juniors books. He has a whole series, and it's all about different things. Like, one book is about like saving your money. Another book is about going into debt. Another book is about borrowing from maybe your sibling, right? There's all different things that they talk about in each one, and we love them. We definitely have had those books now for a while, and they continue to read them over and over. Another thing that we do, or I do, is a vision board, and it's in my office. They can clearly see it. And I make sure, though, to not just have things that I want on it. I have things that the family wants to do. So we, for instance, like, we had the Disney cruise ship on there for a long time. We were going to go right before COVID, and then that didn't happen. We're going now this year, and they can see it. They can, you know, actually like see what it looks like. And it's so funny, Tegan, she was in here behind me doing something, and she's like, when are we going on that cruise ship? Like, they get it. They understand. They know what we're working so hard for, or why mom and dad are gone for X, Y, Z. We can actually say, well, that's how we pay for whatever this experience is, right? So that's fun to have them included in there. Now, these are some things where these are very personal preference, I guess I would say. There is no judgment here if you have chosen to do whatever else. But I will say that I got all of these from other moms. And by hearing them talk about it, it was like, oh, I didn't realize that was an option. I didn't realize you could say yes or no to that. So I'm going to share them with you. But like I said, no judgment. And honestly, I didn't do a lot of these growing up. So for instance, One of the things that we've decided is we are not going to have our kids do sleepovers. So we're not going to have kids sleep over here, and we're not going to have our kids sleep over anywhere else. The exception of that would be like cousins, like sleeping at grandma's, things like that, right? But we're talking friends. So I'm not going to get into too much because there's just so much we could dive into in all of these. But some of the resources and people that I follow, I've actually heard statistics of some sleepovers and like what that looks like. And one of the things that she had said that really, this was Ralphie from Simply on Purpose. I hope I got that right. Love her and her Instagram channel. One of the things that she had shared was people will say like some of the bad things they've done or things that maybe they shouldn't have done in high school or in middle school, right? Some of those things were happening at sleepovers when the parents were sleeping, they were downstairs, and some of these things were popping up. And when I was thinking about some of the things that I had done as a child, or not even like crazy bad, but things where you're like, we probably shouldn't have been watching that, but like somebody suggested it and my mom was upstairs and I let them, and right, all of that usually happens at sleepovers, right? And it was just something we decided we're not going to do. And trust me, I've already had Tanner, who's not been invited to sleepovers or had to turn them down, you know, say, mom, like three of them went and they did this. And I'm like, listen, I will take you, you can stay as late as you want and I will come pick you up. And when they go to sleep, I'll come grab you. And like, it's not a big deal, right? So it's one of those things where I know it's not going to be easy. However, I actually know quite a few moms that are kind of on the same page with us, that whether they're in our neighborhood or they go to school. So it's something that that's just what we're going to do. Another thing we started this year that we weren't doing, we were letting them do, was screen time on school nights. We are completely taking away screen time on school nights. They are only able to watch them on the weekends. And it's just to make sure that I'm not like they were doing a little bit too much. So this is not a judgment. This is, oh my goodness, we were spending too much time on screens and I wanted to make sure that that changed. Another thing is weekends, we are keeping clear with no activities or sports. We are not the family that is doing all the sports. That has been intentional. We are spending our weekends as a family and just time to recharge and rest. We don't want to be going to six different baseball games or all the different crazy schedules. Again, there's no judgment there. It's just, it's not a good fit for us. So we've just chosen to say no. We pick activities where the kids are signing up and it's the same day, the same time. So it fits a good part of our rhythm and our routine versus the activities where we don't know when games are going to be and things like that. Now, will that change in the future? Possibly. But right now, I mean, like I said, Tanner's almost nine and we're definitely still sticking to that. So another place that we've been very intentional with is family dinners. So a lot of the research, a lot of the books that I had, you know, been reading and doing had said the importance of family dinners. It's very few times to actually be able to connect. And it's one of the most important places to connect. So we've been very intentional about making sure we're not having a ton of activities in the evenings. So we have like one night a week where it's a little bit later. We usually don't get to sit down as a family together, but it's one night. So our goal is to have at least five times where we're sitting down together. Even if the kids for some reason eat earlier or we eat earlier or something, we'll actually still make that whoever it is. Like let's say Tanner and Tegan ate at my mom's house because they were still there. And then I picked them up and now we're home and Kent and I are eating. We will make them sit down at the kitchen table with us while we're eating just to have time to have time to talk and to chat. And that's where I'll ask them those questions of like, so what are you grateful for today? Or what happened at school? Like, what was the best part of school? What was the most exciting part at school versus how's school? And the answer is good. Fine. We ask questions where you couldn't answer like that. When we say, what was the best part of school? What was the most exciting thing you learned today? They have to come up with actually an answer. Another thing is really being looking at electronics. So right now, my goal is no phones until high school. I know that sounds absolutely crazy. I don't know how doable it's going to be at when they get to like middle school age. The good news is I will say the school that they go to, we don't go to a school that is, they go to a Christian school. I think a lot of people that go there, it's not that they have all this money and they go there. I think it's, they just really want their children to have a Christian education. And they're not, it's not like a very show off-y school, if that makes sense. So for us, I actually think it's not going to be as hard. This isn't, you know, if my kids were going to a school where they were all wearing name brand clothes and they were all one upping each other, I could see how that would be really difficult. I see it at the studio all the time. I see third graders having their cell phones out calling mom and dad. I see it. I'm fully aware that I'm living in a bubble, but I also purposely picked the school that we're going to allow them to live in a bubble. I grew up that way. I was very sheltered. The things that I did not even know were normal or did not get, I love now looking back how my parents raised me. And that was something we were really intentional with as we chose the school for our children. Another thing that I learned from just friends, other people who truly are experts in this space, is not allowing friends to go on trips. So using time for trips to be time for the family to connect and not time for Tanner to bring a friend and for her to connect with a friend that she sees already every day at school. So that is something that we really have been intentional on when we go on our RV trips or we go to Florida or wherever, even as they get older, not having this be this big family time to connect with other families, but for us to connect with our family itself. So I'm excited to continue to do that and just have that time, whether it is an RV trip or it's a family vacation to Florida or things like that. Some things that we plan to do. So again, I can only tell you what I think is happening or where I want to head, but I still want to share in case some of you have kids this age already. So one of the things that I would like to do is probably, I've actually already been thinking about this with Tanner, is employing her at the business already. So now that she is 8, there are some things she could be doing at my studios, right? Whether it's wiping down the vending machines, whether it, you know, like literally sanitizing door handles or sweeping or cleaning mirrors, there are actually things she already could be doing at this age. Now, I'm not going to get into the laws, but it is different when you own the business versus somebody employing somebody that does not own the business. Okay. So please consult your CPA or the laws in your state or country to figure out what is legal, but we actually could be employing our children at our businesses. And it is something I would like to start doing sooner than later, where when she has a break in her dance class, we employ her for that hour to go around and do XYZ. Okay. So that's something we're looking at. But my big goal is to help them actually start to think about their own business by the time they hit middle school. Now, am I looking for this to be some crazy business in middle school? No, but I will say, again, I'm not just making this stuff up. I've seen it, and this is where my ideas are coming from. I have friends that have middle schoolers making 6 figures a year. That's crazy, right? I know somebody who is a junior in high school, and he makes over $100,000 a year, and is refusing to go to college. And dad is saying, well, how could I make him? He's already making more money than I am as a grown adult. And I did go to college, right? Times are changing. Times are changing. No, I did not have a 6-figure business in middle school or high school. That doesn't mean my children can't, especially when their mom knows a thing or two about building businesses. So we've already been doing fun things just very casually. So last year, Tanner created a cake pop business. She literally just made cake pop. We went to the store, we bought the things. I loaned her the money. She paid me back after she sold them. And she ran around to family and friends and she sold cake pops and she made a profit. And that was her first experience of like getting to understand how this works. I'm going to keep doing little things like that with her. And then when she gets into middle school, really helping her instead of going, okay, time to get a job. I'm going to say, okay, time to start making money. Let's figure out what this business can be. Let me help you, right? And giving them that opportunity. My goal is that by the time my kids leave high school, they are making 6 figures a year. My goal is that they have zero interest in going to college. I went to college. Kent and I both have 4-year degrees. Neither of us actually needed them for what we did. And to me, honestly, it's just a different world. And unless they want to be something that actually needs a specific degree, I wouldn't recommend they go to school, right? And we'll see what happens. We'll see what that looks like. But it is just a very different world. It's crazy how things are changing and how young some of these kids are already making money. I mean, we went to a conference where it was all kids who actually have already been doing this. And it's unbelievable the things that some of these kids are doing. And even if one of them, let's say, or both of them, they're not into deciding if they want their own business or they want to be an entrepreneur, there are so many other opportunities for them to get great jobs or even come work in one of our businesses without needing a degree and still making really good money. Especially when you raise kids that have good values and they're responsible, right? Who wouldn't want to hire somebody like that? When we hire in a Foot Traffic or even at our studio, we're not hiring based off of what degree did you have or where did you come from. We are literally hiring off of values and skill sets and sample projects of like, what are they bringing to the table? Whether or not somebody has a fancy degree or a better school, it's not something that we're necessarily looking at to decide to who we're going to hire, right? So that's part of that. Things I want them to see. So first, I want them to see that our lives don't revolve around them. I want them to see mom and dad being fulfilled and doing fun things that they enjoy doing. I don't want them seeing us as a chauffeur for their activities and their life. I'm really great. Like people sometimes I think judge me a little bit of she travels a lot or she's doing this or she's kind of doing that. And I'm thinking, great. My kids get to see mom continuously still thriving and doing more even at 37 versus now that I'm a mom, I'm just going to do what they want to do and be at their performances and competition. That's not, again, that's just not the lifestyle that we have chosen to have. And I'm not done achieving. I'm not done getting to that next level. And I want them to see that. And I hope they are the same way. I hope that's something they take away from me to continuously evolve as well. We're taking Kent and I taking a vacation in a couple of weeks. And my mom she usually watches them when I'm gone. And my mom was looking at her schedule and she's like, okay, and so what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, that's actually just our vacation. I said, yeah, Kent and I are finally taking a vacation with just the two of us, without work and without the kids. So we haven't done this since Tegan was a year old. Okay. So 5 years, we have not gone on a vacation with just the two of us. We've gone on real vacations, but our kids have always been there. Now, if you're a parent, and I'm assuming you are, if you're listening to this, or maybe you want to be one day, you're understanding that vacations with children are not necessarily completely a vacation, right? And we need to do more of that. And we decided we're going to do that at least once a year and maybe even smaller, like getaway, like we can get aways more often. So my mom said, oh, where are you going? I said, oh, we're going to Florida. Got a really nice hotel. We're going to like just do all the things. And she's like, oh, I probably wouldn't tell the girls that you're going to do that though. I'm like, wait, what? Why? And she's like, well, think how that would make them feel that they're not coming with you on this vacation. I said, oh my God, like our children have vacationed in some of the most amazing places, most beautiful places, 5-star hotels. Tanner has been, she's 8 and she's gone to Spain, Italy, Belize, Honduras, like Jamaica, you name it. This kid has traveled like more places than most grown adults have traveled. And I was like, you know what? It's okay for them to know that mom and dad are taking a break, that we are spending just time, the two of us, to connect just the two of us without them. So actually, I do want them to know that we're going to do this and why we're going to do this. I think it's important, right? I also think it's important too for them to see just the way we behave, right? Our attitudes outside, behind closed doors, like what happens, you know, I think we've witnessed things, right? As we've grown up, what people say and like what's happening, right? But behind the scenes. And I really want to be very conscious and cautious of what they're witnessing, how we treat our friends, our family, our neighbors, how we give, who we give to, like all of that. And I don't necessarily need my kids to be super smart or that sports star. I want them to be good, nice human beings that are secure and confident. The amount of times I have heard mental health come up this year as somebody who employs a lot of people, and I see it, and I see the things that people are going through. I want my kids to be secure, be confident, be happy, right? Those are the things I'm trying to instill in them. I'm not trying to get them to be the valedictorian, to get them a scholarship. I'm not trying to get them to be the next like star on So You Think You Can Dance. Like that's just not what I've chosen or what Kent and I really want for them. Right now, it feels like that's not the norm. It feels like it's a competition to see like whose kid gets to skip a grade or how many AP classes is your kid in and what club sports team did your kid get picked to be on. And that seems to be the norm. That seems to be what the world is like today. And we're just choosing to be different. And I think one of the reasons I wanted to share this is these are things that, again, I didn't make up. I actually follow a lot of amazing experts, and I always try to share the books and things that I'm reading. And I'm showing you that. And I'm showing you the ideas that I'm taking and stealing from other people that have said, here's how we've done it, and here's what we've seen and what we like. And to me, we're choosing that path. We're choosing to decide what feels best for us, for our lifestyle, for our family. I'm not here to tell you should do what I'm doing. I'm here to tell you should look at the options and figure out what do you want your children to be like? What do you want them to feel like? How do you want them to grow up? What would make them be a success in your eyes, you know, when they're 20? One of the things that I was able to do this year was I volunteered at our high school dance team, the place that I started when I was in high school. It pretty much practically built my career. I decided this year that I wanted to, they were in need of a coach. I wanted to come back, not as the main coach, but as somebody to help. And, you know, some of these kids I hadn't seen in a few years from our studio, and watching them now as they're growing up and seeing the ones that you're going, oh, wow, like, look at what their parents did, or me assessing like what I think their parents did to get them to be respectful and kind and responsible and helpful. And the ones that maybe aren't that way, and what maybe I'm watching their parents do or treat them like, treat the kids like, or treat the coaches like, or any of that. And to go, who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? Because the choices that I'm making are either positively or negatively impacting our kids. Right. And it's such a big obligation. And I think sometimes as somebody who is working and very focused on work, I want you to see too that I'm focused on the kids at just as much, and if not so much more. And I'm treating it as another way to, for me to really measure my growth, right? I'm always saying I want to be a better version of myself. And that comes down to not just how much more money can I make, or how much more can I gross, or what's the profit margin, but it's also about what is my time look like, and where am I spending it, and who am I spending it with, and how are we spending it? Am I on my phone, or am I with them, and am I present? What are they seeing? What are they feeling? And what are they going to say? What are they going to say about their mom who is an entrepreneur when they're older? Is it going to be a positive memory? Is it going to be a, oh, I would never be an entrepreneur because here's what my mom did, right? And that's the crazy part, is if I want them truly to be entrepreneurs, I have to make sure I'm living and breathing the positive side of it, the most amazing aspects of it. Because if I'm always on the computer or on the phone or doing the things that make this look not fun, they are going to be running to a 9-to-5 job, right? Running, thinking that the grass is greener. And I want them to see what amazing things could come out of it. So I hope this was helpful. I hope that you liked it. If you would, if you did like it, I would be honored if you share this on social media. Shout this out again, just showing people that there are different ways. There might be one thing in here you love that you're going to take. There might be a bunch of things. There might be nothing. I read a book where I was like, there was nothing in this book that I liked. If in fact it taught me the opposite of what I want to do to raise my kids, maybe this was that episode for you. Okay. No judgment. You get to do however you want to do in your family, and us too. And this is what we picked. So I hope you liked it. Let me know. Tag me on social media. Let's share this with other people if this is something that resonated with you and you want to make sure other moms and dads out there know other ways that people are doing it. And maybe it's not the norm. All right. See you soon. If you're loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, I want to invite you to hang out with me for 5 days. Yes, join us in our next live 5-day bootcamp, where we will be discussing 10 free or low-cost ways to drive more traffic, and you will be blown away by the content that we cover inside. Go to drivemoretraffic.net to get signed up, and let's get you more visible.